It's got my mind on you, and everywhere I turn is a reminder. Welcome to Barah Ministries, an intimate local Christian church with a worldwide impact. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, and thanks for listening to this Bible lesson. You may be wondering some things about Barah Ministries, like who is the God we worship, what is our source of truth, and who is our enemy, and we're always happy to begin each lesson answering those questions. As believers in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have demonstrated our faith by putting our trust in the Lord. We have followed the example of Abraham. For all who have faith, the Lord has a reward. For example, Israel is rewarded because of Abraham's faith. Israel has a bright future according to the Lord in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 22 and 23, which say this: "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations, and set up my standards to the peoples, and they will bring your sons, O Israel, in their bosom, and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders." Isaiah 49:23. "Kings will be your guardians, and their princesses, your nurses. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of your feet, and you will know that I am the Lord. For those who wait for me with hope will not be put to shame." What an amazing promise for Israel. And these promises of the Lord will be fulfilled. As believers in Christ, we come to Bible study to hear God's promises so that we feel the power we have inside of us through the indwelling Trinity. Well, who is the God we worship at Barah Ministries? We worship a triune Godhead. There's one God who reveals himself to mankind as three beings, who are separate, distinct, co-equal, co-infinite, co-eternal persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is the author of the triune Godhead's plan for all creatures. The foundation of God the Father's plan is love, unconditional love for each and every one of us. Can you let that sink in? You are loved unconditionally by the most important person in the universe. Amen? God the Father loves you unconditionally. His unconditional love is affirmed by the Lord in John chapter 14, verse 21, which says this: "The one who loves me unconditionally will be loved unconditionally by my Father." Thank you, Father, for the demonstration of your love by sending your Son to die for us. God the Son, the Lord, volunteered to execute God the Father's plan, taking on the form on human form as Jesus, the Christ, the Jewish Messiah. Believing in him is the one and only way to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he makes us shine for all to see. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 say this: "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, believers in Christ," Philippians 2:15, "so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God the Father, who are above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Among these wicked ones, you appear as lights in the world." That's what we are as believers in Christ. We are lights in this dark, dismal world. So we should never spend our time grumbling or complaining about the fact that we live in Satan's kingdom. "Oh man, I wish it was this way. oh man, I wish the leaders would do this or that. You have it perfect. You have it just as the Lord wants you to have it. And for all eternity, after this momentary light affliction of being here, you're going to be in a perfect environment for all eternity, which is a lot longer than the 80 or so years you'll be here on earth. Well, 77 for women, 72 for men. Amen? They always get more than us. Amen? What's up with that? We worship God, the Holy Spirit. He is our mentor and teacher, the guide who is the rudder of the Christian's life. God, the Holy Spirit, proves his unconditional love for believers in Christ with his sealing ministry, his signature guarantee that we are both saved and eternally secure. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says this, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Sealing calls to mind what people used to do with envelopes to make sure nobody opened them without permission. They'd put sealing wax on and then they stamp it with their initials, perhaps, so that if anybody tampered, that you would know. God, the Holy Spirit, does the same thing with our life. He seals us with his signature guarantee, and if anybody tries to tamper with our lives or our eternal security, shame on them. It ain't gonna happen, people. God, the Holy Spirit, is the guide of the sanctification portion of our lives. Salvation, sanctification, ultimate sanctification, set apart in eternity forever. It's the part of our lives. Sanctification is the part of our lives between salvation and our entrance into heaven for all eternity. In God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, believers in Christ have a power team on their side, a team that specializes in the impossible. And what I wonder is if you're calling on them for help in times of trouble. Well, what is our source of truth at Barah Ministries? It's important to get to know your God as a person. As Christians, the way to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the entire Godhead is through the study of the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God has many edifying things to tell us. For example, it proclaims the Lord's power to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we are unbelievers, just as the Lord told his disciples on the night he was betrayed. John chapter 15, verse 3, the Lord said, "You 11 disciples of mine," Judas had already left to start the betrayal, "are already clean through your saving faith because of the word which I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have spoken to you," which is the gospel message, which they believed. The word of God illuminates the path of righteousness. As Christians, we don't follow the world's example by running around like chickens with our heads cut off. Every day, we set aside time in our schedules to study the Word of God and to interact with God through prayer in a sanctuary of our choosing where no one can get to us. That's what a sanctuary is. You need a place in your life where nobody can get to you, where you turn off your phone and you just focus on you and your relationship with the Lord. Amen? And those can be the most peaceful hours of every day. I like doing that between 4 and 6 in the morning when the phone's not lighting up. It's so quiet, so serene, and it's a great time to read about God, to meditate on his precepts, and to get yourself ready for a day where you're going to be blown about by every wind. The Bible is a supernatural work, breathed into human writers by God, and it is the ultimate source of absolute truth. And at Barah Ministries, we teach the Word of God from God's perspective and not from man's perspective, because we refuse to teach as doctrines the precepts of men. Well, who is our enemy at Barah Ministries? God has an enemy, Satan, whom God made the ruler of this world for a finite period. He is the enemy of believers in Christ as well. Even though Satan hates us, we won't have to put up with him and his influence forever. John chapter 12, verse 31 says this, "Now there is a judgment upon this world," Satan's world system, Satan's world curriculum, that he is constantly teaching us to hate God. "And the ruler of this world will be cast out into the outer darkness, the lake of fire." Satan is a defeated enemy. He has already lost. The cross sealed his fate. He is a defeated enemy who will be vanquished from our presence at a future time. And frankly, we can't wait. Today's Bible lesson, faith, the greatest power in the world. Faith is the greatest power in the world. Well, human power is no power apart from faith. Faith is placing your confidence in the object of your faith. For Christians, the object of our faith is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The object of our faith is God the Father, who delivered over his Son as a sin substitute for us. The object of our faith is God the Holy Spirit, who gives us his enabling power, much more powerful than our human power. Well, the racial Jews had faith in Moses and the Mosaic Law. They put their faith in a man and in rules. They did not have faith in their Messiah, Jesus the Christ. The spiritual Jews in the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, four generations of believers who didn't have the Bible at their disposal, by the way, passed on the tenets of truth that they learned from the Old Testament. They had faith in Jehovah Elohim, which is the Lord, as he was revealed as God the Son, and it was credited to them as righteousness. In today's lesson, we'll continue our examination of justification by faith as we look at some of the Old Testament examples of people with saving faith. Saving faith. Saving faith. Spit it out, buddy. Well, let's hear some music. The power of faith for believers in Christ is surrender, giving up our lives to God. When we turn over our lives and our faith to the Lord, we have confident assurance that he will come through for us. If God is for us, and he is, who can ever be successful against us? Here's Elevation Worship to request in song something we already have. They say, "Give me faith."
Just soften my heart.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you for showing us examples of believers who have endured suffering in the face of faith, who have persevered through their trust in you. As we learn from the lesson today, emblazon the confidence of faith on our hearts. Sear the assurance of faith into our minds. Activate the power of faith in our experience so that we always trust in you, regardless of how the outcome looks to everyone else. Help us as believers in Christ to expect victory. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, say it with me. Amen. Amen. All y'all. Today's Bible lesson, faith, the greatest power in the world. We continue our study of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. We're examining the second passage of chapter 4, verses 18 to 25. Here's the passage in the New Living Translation, starting at Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have, as many as the stars of the sky and as many as the grains of sand on the seashore." Romans 4:19. And Abraham's faith did not waver. He did not vacillate. He did not doubt. He did not slide back and forth like a snail, even a wet trail. Abraham's faith did not vacillate, did not waver, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as sexually dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Romans 4:20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise of giving him a child from his own loins, Isaac. In fact, Abraham's faith grew stronger, and this faith brought glory to God. Now, Abraham did laugh at the thought that as a sexually dead man, he would have a kid. And he laughed at the thought that his barren wife would have a kid. And Sarah, when she overheard the Lord telling Abraham that she was going to have a kid, she laughed. And that's why his name is Isaac, because Isaac means laughter. Isn't that great? God said, okay, I got a sense of humor too. When God called Sarah on it, why are you laughing? She said, I didn't laugh. She's talking to an omniscient God, and she said, I didn't laugh. Okay, well, name your kid Isaac. Romans 4:21. Abraham was fully convinced that God can do whatever he promised. Romans 4:22, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. Romans 4:23, and when God counted Abraham as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. Romans 4:24, it was recorded for our benefit as Gentiles too, because he was a Gentile at the time as well, assuring us that God the Father will also count us as righteous if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? This God and Father who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Romans 4:25, Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to the resurrection life to make us right with God. Well, from Romans chapter 3, verse 20, through Romans chapter 5, and even beyond in Romans, we are learning that our justification comes by faith. What is justification by faith? Simply stated, it is the process by which God declares the guilty to be not guilty. When you're born physically alive and spiritually dead, you are guilty of Adam's sin, and you're guilty of your own sins as you commit them. But because of justification by faith, because we, as believers in Christ, realize that we are weak, we realize that we need a crutch, we realize that we need a Savior, because of that, justification by faith, the process by which God declares the guilty to be not guilty. He acquits us, legally considering us to be right with him because he credits his own righteousness to us. New Testament believers aren't the only set of believers with faith, though. There are a host of believers in Christ in the Old Testament who provide us with examples of the power of faith. And I thought I would be remiss if I didn't at least share some of this with you because, hey, you know, how many of you as Christians just doubt your faith? I mean, you have this gift of faith from God and you doubt your faith. You doubt that you have enough faith. Well, you don't have to answer because I already know the answer. I don't ask the question unless I know the answer. That's the legal part of me, amen? But no, I know the answer. You doubt all the time. And why is that? Because genuinely, I don't believe in your soul you understand what faith really is. And it's not that you're not getting taught it. It's just that you believe Satan and the flesh inside of you more than you believe what God is saying in his word. You don't expose yourself to the word enough. You would rather busy yourself running all over the place like chickens with your heads cut off rather than sitting down somewhere every day and taking care of you by studying the word of God. And you know what? I'm not talking out of school because I do it too, thinking that, you know, cleaning the toilet is more important than sitting down and studying the word of God. And cleaning the toilet has a lot of merit, but it is not more important than ingesting the word of God. So God the Holy Spirit is directing us to take a look at Hebrews chapter 11 to see examples of faith in the Old Testament saints, because those of us in the New Testament who are New Testament believers, church age believers, aren't the only ones who had faith. So the chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, gives us both a description of faith and the demonstration of faith through these believers. And all of these people that you're going to hear about today are people you will meet one day. So let's begin our study of this power chapter in the letter of Hebrews. Faith. What is it? How does it work? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Now faith is full assurance, giving substance to things we hope for. Faith is the proof of things when they are not yet seen. When your faith is expressed, you already have the thing you asked for. I don't believe you heard me. So I'm going to repeat that. When your faith is expressed, when you place your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he expects from you is that you already know that you already have the thing you asked for. Now, you're not going to be asking for people to come back from the dead. You're not going to be asking for ridiculous things. But the things that you need in your life, when you ask for them and you say, Lord, here's what I need, and I have faith that you will deliver it. It occurs. You already have it. Now, when it shows up, we'll see. Abraham was promised a son 25 years before the son got there. So faith goes beyond human power. By investing our faith in the Lord, we are sure of things. When I hear that friends of mine have cancer, I know that the medical community might not have an answer for that. But I absolutely know that my God has an answer for it. And I absolutely know that the moment I request of God something in that regard, that I already have it. Amen? That's faith. It's not, okay, God, well, I'm kind of hoping that you do it. It's not like that at all. By investing our faith in the Lord, we are absolutely sure of things in hope. We have absolute confidence that we already have the things he promises because of our faith. And see, you know, if you think about your current circumstance, there are things in your life that are not going the way you wish they would. And so you think, well, hell, it's going to be this way all the time. You just resign. Resignation, surrender is not resignation. Surrender is not resignation. Surrender is, look, I don't like what's going on right now. But I know that you're going to give me the victory. The Lord says, you may not like what's going on right now, but you're a piece of coal. And I'm putting you under pressure because I'm turning you into a diamond. Amen? Amen. So just relax. Relax. Take a punch. As a believer in Christ, you have to be able to take a punch. But it's not always going to be like that. It's not. And I'm a testimony to that. That's why it's so great that you have a pastor. You may not think so, but I think so. It's why it's so great that you have a pastor that's made virtually every mistake that you can make in this life. Amen? Amen? Yes. And one of them was liking you people. Amen? So I can testify. I can tell you exactly what happens when things happen in your life that go haywire. When somebody has an apparent victory over you. And then, it's like the tortoise and the hare. You know, as believers in Christ, we're the tortoise. And the rabbit runs ahead, Vroom! You hear the noise and you hear feel the wind of the rabbit running ahead. And you just keep on trudging. You run like Jokic, the Denver center. You run like him, right? And then all of a sudden you get down the road and you see the rabbit on the side of the road puking. The race is not always to the swift. So whatever you're going through right now, be patient, be calm, be relaxed, invest your faith, and know that you already have what it is you're asking for, because God is never going to let the people on his team down, and you're on his team as a believer in Christ, and he is never going to let you down. He knows the desire of your heart, and he's going to give it to you. And while you're busy worrying about the fact that you aren't at the destination, you're completely ignoring all the pieces that he is putting in place for your deliverance right this minute, because you close your spiritual eyes thinking that you have a better idea than how he's orchestrating things for you. Amen? Chill out. We think of heaven, and we hear in the word of God that we will one day be absent from the body and at home face to face with the Lord. In faith, we are confident that we already have it, that this is an absolute future event in the lives of believers in Christ, and we have it right this minute. We are completely confident that because we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are no longer ever going to be at the wrong end of the wrath of God the Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says what we do. We believers in Christ walk by faith and not by sight. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24, Jesus said to the disciples, keep on having faith in God, continuous action. Mark 11, 23, truly I, the Lord Jesus Christ, say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. That's faith. I have faith. Mountain. Be taken up and be cast into the sea. What's a mountain? It's the obstacles in our lives. Lord, this is an obstacle in my life. Take it up, cast it into the sea. I have faith in you. At that minute, you have what you request. Amen? Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that already you have received them, and they will be granted to you. That's faith. Lord, I'm putting this in your hands. And here's what I know. I don't like what's going on. It is not my preference that this is what happened. I'm mad about it. I'm stomping my feet. I don't like it. I want it the way I want it. I want it now. But because all of my whining, moaning, and tantrum throwing hasn't given me what I wanted, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it in your hands, and I'm going to watch you work. And at that moment that you put it in his hands, you already have what you've asked for. Don't take it back. Let him do it. Let the supernatural power of your God do it for you. You got a problem with your feet? The Lord's going to take care of it. My feet are numb on top. He's going to take care of it. I can't see. He's going to take care of it. What's your problem? He's going to take care of it. Have faith that you already have it. I believe the Lord can reverse glaucoma. Amen. Now, I don't know that we've ever seen any of that happening, but I think he can do it. The Lord says that with faith and no doubting, we have the things we want the moment we ask for them. I'm going to repeat that because this is the message of this lesson. The Lord says that with faith and no doubting, we have the things we want from the moment we ask for them. We believers in Christ have absolute confidence that God has the power to do whatever he wants to do, and he is absolutely faithful to deliver everything he promises. Even when we don't see it, we know it will happen. Unbelief is a sin. Doubting, distrusting, and unbelief kill faith. Faith is not a feeling, and faith does not require a sign. In fact, the Lord says in Hebrews chapter 16, verse 4, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. If you see the sign, that doesn't require faith. Faith is you being fully assured that what you don't see is going to come to pass. With faith in the Lord, we are sure of everything he says. Hebrews 11:2. For by faith, the people of the Old Testament, saints, believers in Christ, had witnesses born to them through their faith. The witness comes through the conscience on the inside of us. The Lord plants in our conscience the things that are going to happen, the things that are right. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 says this: the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony inside himself. The one who does not believe God the Father has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God the Father has given concerning his Son. See, when we let Satan convince us to be unbelieving, as believers in Christ, when he convinces us to doubt the Lord, that's when we lose it. As believers in Christ, we know how faith works. God promises in the Word of God, which is the mind of Christ, exactly what he's going to do. We hear the promises. We trust the God who makes the promises. We believe the promises. We act on the promises regardless of circumstances. The thought that we're weak from trusting God, regardless of appearances, that was the weak part, circumstances, when what we want seems impossible, like cancer, clearing up cancer in the bodies of people who are stage four, or consequences, being frightened by the unknown. Pastor Farley has stage four cancer, and God gave him the medication to put it off. And we just sit there and watch him, and he keeps on teaching. His insurance company told him, we're not going to pay for your medication anymore, because the average person who we pay for this medication for dies after 3 years, and you didn't. We don't want to keep on paying for this medication. And then we prayed, and guess what? They pay him for the medication. Amen? Faith. The minute we prayed for it, we already had it. And he defies all odds. He defies the whole medical community because their statistics mean jack squat. Oh, you probably got 6 months to live. You should get your affairs in order. You need to shut your mouth because I don't want to hear your statistics, because the statistics said that my chances of getting out of the ghetto were about 0.0000001. They underestimated my God. I don't care about their statistics. We need to understand how the most powerful being in the universe works. I had faith that I was going to get out of the ghetto. And the moment I expressed that faith to God, it was done. And to watch how he orchestrated my life through various people and took me into all the educational experiences that I would need to be successful in life is absolutely mind-boggling. Maybe one day when I'm bored and doing nothing, I'll sit down and write a book about it so people can see what genuinely happens when you have faith. And your current circumstance means nothing. It's just where you are right now on the journey. And if you ever watched a marathon, the people who win the marathon are the ones who are in the middle of the pack halfway through the race. They're not leading the pack the whole time, except those Biafrans. Them boys can run. They used to run it from animals, see? Anyway, let's look at the demonstration of faith in the Old Testament. Now that we know what faith is the confident assurance that the things you don't see are going to occur. Now let's look at the demonstration of faith in the Old Testament saints. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 and following. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by a spoken word from God, so that what is seen, the visible universe, was not made out of visible things. The Hebrew word bara, God spoke the universe into existence from nothing. You may have heard this word before, amen? Bara is the fifth word of the Bible. In the beginning, God barad. He created the heavens and the earth. He spoke the heavens and the earth into existence from nothing. The Big Bang Theory. Was there a bang? I'll bet there was a loud noise as the universe unfolded right before the eyes of the angels who were watching and celebrating, according to Job chapter 38, verse 7. They were watching the Beniha Elohim. They watched it. And what did Satan do? Liar that he is, he perverted it. Oh, it's the Big Bang Theory. Everything with theory at the end of it is stupid. If the earth and the universe were spoken into existence from nothing, can Darwin's idea about evolution be anything but a theory? A theory, by the way, which he backed off of toward the end of his life? The theory that a tadpole grew legs and walked up onto the beach and then turned into something else, which turned into something else, which turned into apes, which turned into us? 18 years of teaching my kids biblical lessons. They go off to college and they come back talking about the theory of evolution may be accurate. So what did I do? I took them to the zoo and I pointed to the gorillas and I said, if the theory of evolution is true, why are they still here? Because evolution, we ought to change and change and change and change and change. They should be gone and we're the result. Why are they still here? They're still here because Darwin was full of shit. That's why they're still here. His theory was exactly that. It was a theory with nothing to prove the truth of it. It has not stood the test of time. We have babies. We don't have tadpoles that evolve into human beings. Faith knows as truth the things that God says in his word. And God says not one word about evolution. Faith has fruit, as we will see in the lives of five people. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain and Abel, the children of Adam and Eve. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why? Because he offered the exact sacrifice that the Lord told him was an acceptable sacrifice. Through which sacrifice, Abel gave evidence that he was righteous before God. Why? Because he believed what God said and it was credited to his account as righteousness. God approved of his gift. And through the sacrifice, though Abel is dead, he keeps on speaking through his example of faith. Who is the symbol of excellence in the Mormon religion? Cain. If you look at all of their things, it's vegetables, all of their little talismans and symbols in their temple all connect to Cain, an unbeliever. They do not connect to Abel and his sacrifice. Abel brought an animal sacrifice, a lamb, when he came to worship God. It was the offering of the blood of an animal as a substitute for a sinner, a precursor of exactly what happened when Jesus Christ went to the cross. Cain brought crops to God. That was not how he was instructed. He rejected the instruction. He didn't bring something in death. He brought life. And that arrogance of approach was displeasing to God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 in the New Living Translation says, "We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother." And why did Cain kill Abel? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother Abel had been doing what was righteous. That's a great translation. Abel was the first martyr. Abel was acceptable to God. He was saved. He was righteous because of faith and poured out blood, just as we are righteous because of the poured out blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken up to heaven by God so that he would not see death. And Enoch was not found because God took him up. For Enoch obtained the witness that before his being taken up from earth to heaven, he was well-pleasing to God. He was righteous by means of faith. Denise is smiling over there like a Cheshire cat because Enoch is her hero, and that's because Denise is a wimp. Denise is hoping that she will be raptured. She's hoping she won't. She's hoping she won't die. Whatever, Denise. I'm not telling anybody. I'm not telling anybody that. Make your own lesson. You can tell them whatever you want about Enoch. I'm going to stick with my story. You're a wimp. You don't want to die. Well, you shouldn't. You see too much death in your profession. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God at all. Without faith, it's impossible to please God at all. Because if you don't have faith, what do you have? Rationalism, the mind as the criterion for reality. Empiricism, if I can't feel it, see it, touch it, taste it, hear it, it doesn't exist. What a bunch of crap. Human power at its finest. Without faith, it's impossible to please God at all. For he who comes to God the Father must believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I am so excited for the people in my life that are part of Barah Ministries that I see suffering through their lives right now. I'm excited about it because I know exactly what's going to happen to them. And I have faith that my prayers for all of you are going to be answered. I have faith that God delivers because I have watched him deliver in my own life. At 69 years old, and I don't look 69, do I? Black don't crack. Amen? Amen, black don't crack. I have seen it. He showed me over and over again that people who think they're getting over now don't get over. The race isn't over. The game isn't over, and we keep on fighting the good fight. We keep on running the race that's set before us, and we keep on hurdling the obstacles that are put before us. The Lord rewards those who express faith in Christ for righteousness. God makes it clear to us through Abraham's example that faith is the only ground on which to stand with God. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 says this, "Abraham believed in the Lord, his gift of faith expressed, and the Lord credited Abraham's faith to his account as absolute righteousness, which is the admission ticket to heaven." So Enoch was raptured by God via an exit resurrection, the Greek word exanastasis, just as many of us may be fortunate enough to be one day. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned by God through direct revelation about things not yet seen, a coming flood, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. It was Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their wives, eight believers in Christ left on the earth, while Satan was attempting to pervert the human race and to pervert the line that Jesus Christ would come through by having angelic creatures cohabitate with women to create a super race of creatures. By which faith, Noah condemned the world, and Noah became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Everyone thought Noah was nuts. They ignored his witness as he built the ark. They busied themselves with meaningless activity, just as we do today, not knowing that the day of the Lord would come like a thief in the night to those who didn't expect it because of their lack of study of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. But by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That's faith. God makes the promise. Abraham thinks he already has what God has promised. And Abraham goes out fully expecting, with full assurance, that what God says will happen. Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. By faith, Abraham lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. They were spiritual Jews. Hebrews 11:10, for Abraham was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And he's talking about the New Jerusalem of Revelation 21. By the way, Abraham didn't have a perfect score with God. We know about Hagar and Ishmael and his crisis of confidence in God, where he slept with his wife's maid and had a son, and that son founded the whole heir of Arabs who hate Jews to this very day. But what do we see from men and women of faith? We see those the world considers weak become great because of their faith in the one who is the object of their faith, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Often, believers suffer, yet God delivers them. Unfortunately for you, God doesn't deliver on your time frame, but he always delivers. In faith, we can wait. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life. And even though she was barren, since she considered the God who had promised to be faithful. Faith, Hebrews 11, 12. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as sexually dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore, through the line of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, all of these who were blessed were weak. They did not have perfect scores, but you know what? 90 to 100 is an A. There's some room for us to make mistakes in the plan of God. The Lord came through for them all because the Lord specializes in the impossible. When we return from the break, we'll take the offering and then we'll continue our study of faith with more from the letter to the Hebrews. Take a 5-minute break.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell you rescued me. You gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see.
stage fright. And David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. For the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history.
Go down in history.
As another blood-bought, faithful member of the family.
That's all I ever want to be.
And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
'Cause I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell you.
Welcome back. Today's Bible lesson, faith, the greatest power in the world. Well, Nike has it right about athletics. Just do it. At Barah Ministries, we have this thought about generosity. Just give it. In Proverbs 3, verse 9, the Lord says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first fruits of all your produce. The Lord doesn't need us to give. He wants you to want to give. Don't ever underestimate the power of your giving. Of course, Satan, the enemy of God, influences you to be reluctant to give. What are they going to do with the money? Where are they? Why are they always asking me for my money? Because the cow who is threshing, the bull who's threshing around on the grain, is worthy of his wage. Pay the man. Pay the ministry. When you give to Barah Ministries, you change lives. You may not get to know how you make a difference while you're here on earth, but God knows the impact you make and will share it with you when you get to heaven. So give as if someone's life depends on it, because it does. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with one of his always inspiring offering messages.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
My name is Denny Goodall, and I'm blessed to be a deacon at Barah Ministries because at Barah Ministries, we know that fear is a liar. This world is a liar. Satan is a liar. And so we're guided by truth. We're guided by the truth of the Bible and the Word of God. And that's an amazing thing to hear every week and to charge up our souls. I was thinking about lying this week and how sometimes I feel like we inadvertently lie to people by not telling them the truth. Have you ever had somebody that has spinach in their tooth and you see it and you don't say anything? I feel like if you don't tell them, it's almost like lying to them. You know, you might as well tell them. You might as well bring it up. It might be a little awkward, but you can help them out. And I had a friend in college who was one of the smartest guys I know, still is to this day, but he was a little off his rocker, always too excited to meet girls and do other things instead of just his studies. And we had one of the houses I lived in, it had a landing where there was kind of a game room. And I went to bed, and he was there. And when I woke up to go to class the next day, he was still there. I was like, "Where are you? Aren't you going to lecture?" He's like, "No, I'm skipping," because I knew he stayed up all night. He couldn't make it. And I remember talking to him later in the day, and I didn't want to, but I told him, "You know, you shouldn't be doing that, man. There's nobody calling you out right now, but you shouldn't stay up all night and miss your classes. Like, the lecture is where you find out, you know, what's going to be on the test. It might be easy to skip, but that's good information you're missing." And he didn't want to hear it, and of course, we had a little argument about it, but I think it was worth it, you know, telling him the truth. Because if I hadn't, I think I was lying to him. I wouldn't have steered him straight. And really, isn't that what the gospel is to everybody else in the world? It's salvation. We know about it. We know the truth. And yet we don't tell people about it. Uh-oh. Turn me down a little bit. Somebody's going by. Satan doesn't like it. But truly, I mean, the Bible backs me up. We see in Proverbs 12:22. Can you still hear me? I wasn't sure if you could still hear me. Okay, cool. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. So I think we can deal faithfully with people and tell them they have spinach in their tooth or tell them if they're making the wrong choices, but especially telling them about the gospel. And that's why giving at this time at the ministry to this ministry is something that supports getting the gospel to the world, getting the truth to the world so they can overcome lies. And so we can tell people the truth. And we know salvation. And to hold back from somebody, that's crazy. We should tell people that thing. We should tell them. I mean, it might be awkward, but it's worth it. It's worth it telling them the truth. And so I would be remiss to not give you the chance at the offering to give something that you've planned all week for, your money, your time, your talent, and your treasure. I know you've been planning for this. So reach deep and dig deep for Pastor Rory, because he always does for us. And so does Jesus. So hit it, Denise. Thank you.
thanks for a great message as usual, Deacon Denny. Today's Bible lesson, faith, the greatest power in the world. Welcome back. Continuing at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, we see this. All these Old Testament saints died in faith, believing the promises of God, without receiving the promise, because the promises had not yet come. But having seen them in the mind's eye through faith, having welcomed the promises from afar, and they confessed they were strangers and exiles on the earth, and they were, because they were in this world, but they were not of this world. A promise is only as good as the one who promises. In this case, the sovereign God of the universe is the promissory maker. He is easy to believe. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 14 says this, "For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own, a fatherland." Hebrews 11, 15. "And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had the opportunity to return." Hebrews 11, 16. "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country." See, what's being said here is, when you come from the ghetto, you always kind of want to go back to the ghetto. But that's not what the Old Testament saints did. They said, "I'm not going back to the ghetto. I'm going on to the heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them, the New Jerusalem. And that's where we'll live. And it's going to be a beautiful thing during the millennial reign of Christ to be in the New Jerusalem, and to see a city that is absolute perfection. And the city's kind of small, which ought to tell you about the narrow way that leads to life." Hebrews 11, 17. "By faith, when he was tested, Abraham offered up Isaac to die. The Lord said to Abraham, 'Take your kid, take him up, and sacrifice him.'" And it was so funny because Abraham did exactly what the Lord said. And on the way up the mountain, he said, "Abraham, Isaac and I are going up the mountain. And when we return," he fully expected that he was going to be coming back down. He didn't believe for a second that the Lord was going to go against his promise and take the son away from him that he had labored to give him, who it was promised that the whole line of the Jewish race, the spiritual Jewish race, would come from. He knew what was going to happen. Hebrews 11, 17, "By faith, when he was tested, Abraham offered up Isaac to die. And as the one who had received the promises, Abraham was offering up his only begotten son." That is a type of what would come in the future when God the Father offered up his only begotten son. "And when Abraham demonstrated his faith by going up the mountain, the Lord considered the act of offering Isaac as done without even Abraham's doing it." When you express your faith, you already have it. And when it shows up, that's God's business. In the meantime, Abraham reflected on two things. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 18 and 19. "It was Abraham to whom it was said, and he remembered it, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.'" Abraham believed this promise to be true, that Isaac would be a father of those coming in the future as well, so it was no problem following God's instruction, even if it meant sacrificing Isaac. Why? Hebrews 11, 19 in the New Living Translation. "Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God would be able to bring him back to life again from the dead. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead." Faith. Abraham reckoned that if the Lord had allowed the offering up of his son, and it was funny because as they were going up the mountain, Isaac knew that there was going to be a sacrifice, and he said, "Hey, Dad, where is the animal that we're going to sacrifice?" It's hard to tell you, dude. It's going to be you. So Abraham reckoned that if the Lord had allowed the offering up of his son, the Lord can raise people from the dead. And we demonstrate our faith in God most when we surrender to his will, when we realize that he can do whatever he wants. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding the things to come. Jacob the believer, Esau the unbeliever. Jacob the younger son, Esau the older son. And the blessings went to the younger son when typically they went to the older son. Hebrews 11, 21. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. Hebrews 11, 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel from Egypt, and gave orders concerning his bones as to where they should be buried. He did not want to be buried in Canaan. He wanted to be buried in Israel, and that's exactly what happened. Now, Joseph was treated horribly by his family. He didn't let it turn him sour on God's promises, though. Instead, his faith in the Lord grew stronger, and faith can grow. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict that every Jewish male baby should be killed. What a risk. Just think about the risk that they were taking. Moses' parents were believers in the Lord. They had faith in him, and they knew exactly what would happen. And all of these stories are stories that you should look up in the Bible. You should just Google them, look them up in the Bible and read them, because they're fascinating about each one of these people. What did Moses' parents do? First of all, they hid the kid. Then they figured, okay, eventually he's going to be found, so why don't I come up with a different way? The Lord told them, put Moses in a basket and float him down the river toward the palace, and the Pharaoh's daughter will get the baby, fall in love with the baby, raise the baby in the palace, and then he won't be killed, even though he was Jewish. Hebrews 11, 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now that was some gonads. That was guts. Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, and he could have easily chosen the soft, entitled life. Moses had the right values, though, and used them to make right decisions. Hebrews 11, 25, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Hebrews 11, 26, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward, and that is the compensation that would come from God. See, the pleasures of sin in this reference is a reference to life on Easy Street. It's not a reference to the prodigal who is living the lascivious life. Moses could have easily lived on Easy Street. He had it made in the palace, and he would have succeeded the Pharaoh and been a Pharaoh. But Moses knew the compensation from man was not as significant as compensation from his God. Moses wanted the Lord's approval, not man's approval. Hebrews 11, 27, by faith Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as if he was someone who is seeing and believing in that which is unseen and him who is unseen. You know, there was a mayor, I forget who it was, who, I think maybe it was Feinstein, I don't know, but there was a mayor who sympathized for the plight of quote-unquote minorities, I hate that word, and so she went and lived in the tenements for a month or so. But what happened right after that? She went right back to her swanky apartment. She moved on up to the east side to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Huh? Yeah, it was Feinstein, wasn't it? Who did that? But Moses didn't do that. Moses had the chance to go back and live in the palace, but he stayed out in the wilderness in the desert with his peeps. Hebrews 11, 28. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Moses was not without faults. He didn't have a perfect score in his spiritual life. One of the things he testified was that nobody should ever marry a black woman. And then what did he do? He married a black woman. That's how he was. The Lord told him, hey man, go up to the front where you make a good target. He said, nah, you know what? God, I'm not a good speaker. And I'm kind of an introvert. Can you send somebody else? Nope, you go up front. So Moses didn't have a perfect score, huh? He did. Moses, he didn't have a perfect score, but he still got an A in his spiritual life. Well, here are more examples of faith, Hebrews 11:29. By faith, the Jews held captive in Egypt passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. Can you imagine me with that group of people walking across the bed and seeing the waters on each side? I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. Faith or no faith, you better give me a life jacket or something. How scary was that to walk right through the middle of a sea that had been parted? It is. It's like getting mud on your nice sandals. It's crazy. But they passed through the Red Sea as if they were passing through dry land. And when all 2 million of them got across, and Pharaoh changed his mind and says, what have I done? Who's going to work? Go get those Jews. And the Egyptians followed them. And when they attempt to walk across the dry land, they were drowned. And they're still finding pieces of chariots and different artifacts that show that the Bible is completely accurate in what it's saying. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. In the conquest of Jericho, a city that was alleged to be impenetrable, Jacob and his men walked around the city blowing the horn of faith for 7 days, and the walls came tumbling down. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. That was the power of God at work. That was their faith at work. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Great story you should check out. But what I want you to know about Rahab right now is this. She was a prostitute. Now, when you hear that, do you think you're better than she is? See, most people do. Do you think that she's one from whose ancestry the Messiah should be born? Nope, but that's exactly what happened. Jesus was born from her lineage. All of these believers acted on faith, not feelings. As believers in Christ, we must not shrink back from the challenges the Lord gives us. Instead, we use the spiritual gift which we have been entrusted to obey by the Lord. The Bible has many more stories to tell about the Old Testament saints. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 39. And what more shall I say, the writer of Hebrews says? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, who slayed a lion and a bear as a shepherd boy, Samuel and the prophets. Hebrews 11, 33. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, Daniel in the lion's den. The lion's mouth was shut. Hebrews 11, 34, quenched the power of fire. Daniel's three buddies were not burned up when they should have been. Escaped the edge of the sword. There are many swords whose crimson red was the blood of believers in Christ who had been slaughtered. From weaknesses were made strong, became mighty in war. Gideon started out with 3,000 men, and the Lord reduced the force to 300 men, and then he won the war with pots and pans against one of the most powerful armies in the history of mankind. Put foreign armies to flight. Hebrews 11, 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. As believers in Christ, our faith is a legacy of victory Yet not all believers are delivered in the way we might like. We might like it that we don't suffer at all. We might like it that the people we value most aren't taken from us. But the Lord knows everything, and he will make clear to you everything that he does and why it was important for you that that did occur. Hebrews 11:36, and others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment, false imprisonment many times. Hebrews 11:37, they were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, camouflage, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated. Hebrews 11:38, men of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy of these courageous people, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Hebrews 11:39, and all of these Old Testament saints, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, but they knew that the one who promised is faithful. As current day believers in Christ, we have to acknowledge that we are not going back to the times when the Word of God was honored. We are not going back to the times when people loved truth and trusted pastors. We are not going back to the time when our government has us in mind. What is the world's attitude toward true Christians? Hatred. Absolute hatred. The world is armed against us, and we must expect to experience the same rejection that the Lord experienced. Yet in faith, Christ is always victorious. By faith, we count on him. Must be a good gospel message coming up. The closing moments of this lesson could be the 10 most important minutes of your life. You'll be introduced to the good news concerning how you can spend all eternity in heaven when you close your eyes in this life. We want you to know that God wants you. And what he wants for you is that you make the most important decision of your life. If you don't yet have a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God considers you to be a spiritually dead sinner who needs a Savior. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all creatures have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, it is written, there is no creature who is righteous, not even one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says, all in union with Adam at physical birth, and that's every human being, are set to die the second death in the lake of fire. Your condition at physical birth is not your fault, but it is your circumstance. By your own choice, you have a chance to be precious in God's sight. Psalm 116, verse 15 says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones, his saints, his believers in Christ. The fact that God wants you is a great thing to know, especially as you get older, because no one gets out of this life alive. Well, what's going to happen to you when you close your eyes in this life? Will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? God has an enemy, Satan, the ruler of this world, and he creates counterfeit lifestyles to blind your mind. Counterfeit lifestyles called religions that are designed to mislead you into thinking that you're saved when you're not. Roman Catholicism is one of those counterfeits. Here is an excerpt from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And by the way, if you told Catholics this, they would call you a liar to your face. Here's what it says. Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2010. Moved by the Holy Spirit and by charity, we can merit for ourselves and for others the graces needed for our sanctification. We can merit for ourselves and for others the graces needed for our sanctification, for the attainment of eternal life. If you can merit for yourselves and for others, the graces needed for your sanctification, why would you need Jesus Christ? Satan wants you to think you can work your way to heaven, earning your own salvation. False. Also, he wants you to think you can pray for the salvations of others after they have died. False. He is lying. You can't. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says this: it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment. Oops. No, what is that, reincarnation? I knew you in a former life. I'm going to come back as a chair. None of that. Sorry. The Lord provides you with the Bible to eliminate the path to heaven. John chapter 20, verse 31 says this: these things written in the Bible have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Jewish Messiah, and the Son of God, the Lord who took on human form, and that by believing in him, you may have the resurrection life, eternal life in his name. John harps on it. Believe. Believe, believe, believe. Well, the Bible contains the Lord's exact thinking. It's your owner's manual for life. The good news is the Lord Jesus Christ did something about your sin problem. He has a plan for your salvation because he doesn't want anyone to go to the lake of fire. The people who end up in the lake of fire will be there because they wanted to be there, because God does not want you to be there. He does not want you to be at the wrong end of the wrath of God the Father. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this: the Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of. Instead, he is patient toward unbelievers, not wishing for any to perish in the lake of fire, but for all to come to repentance, which is a voluntary change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So how can you get to heaven? Right where you sit right now, you can tell God the Father that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can express your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the moment of eternal life for you. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved by God, you and everyone in your household who also believes. The one way. The only way to get to heaven is through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this: Jesus said to the doubting apostle Thomas, I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God, and I am the resurrection life. And no one comes to God the Father in heaven but through believing in me. Who is this God who saves you? The Apostle Paul describes the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. I, Paul, deliver to you as of primary importance the gospel message I also received from God, that it was Jesus Christ who died for our sins according to the Old Testament scriptures, and that he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day according to the Old Testament scriptures. Believing in Jesus Christ is your acknowledgement that you can't do a thing on your own to save yourself. You cannot get to heaven on your own. It's your confirmation that being a good person does not get you to heaven. It's wiser to let God save you, because once God does something, he never changes his mind. John chapter 10, verse 28 says, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands. You can't lose your salvation. And if anyone tells you you can lose your salvation, they are lying to you. Many people in the world think they don't need a Savior because they're basically good people. These people are like those who defend themselves in a lawsuit. The joke in the legal community is anyone who represents himself in a lawsuit has a fool for a client. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this: there's salvation in no one else, and there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So unfortunately for you, you can't be saved in your own name. Amen? Reject a relationship with Christ, In Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, the Lord shares the consequences. It says, "Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, the lake of fire, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So heed the warning and accept the invitation of John chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has the resurrection life right at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. You can join me and a host of your believer friends in heaven when you close your eyes in this life. Choose it now. Well, let's close with music. After this lesson, you are encouraged to realize the power your faith can unleash because of your confidence in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Here's Keith and Kristen Getty to sing this sentiment. We walk by faith.
To the lost. sight.
We do. We walk by faith and not by sight. Let us pray. Thank you for the gift of faith, Almighty God and Father. May we take heed of the lesson of Romans chapter 4. Help us to recognize that when we express our faith in you, we already have what we want, even though we haven't seen it yet. And we ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, say it with me.
Amen.
Amen. So the announcements are posted separately. Please make it a habit to listen to the announcements. Keep current on the things going on and coming up in Barah Ministries. Discussing the lesson in prayer circle, we'd like you to join us for that. You can join live or on Zoom immediately following the lesson. All you have to do is go to the newsletter, click a link. You can come on in and we can talk about the lesson, ask questions. And that session is really powerful, so join us, please. Got biblical questions? Ask the pastor, pastor@barahministries.com. Need us to pray for somebody? Send your request to pastor@barahministries.com. My inbox should be getting flooded with prayer requests because people need it. So keep on studying the Word of God daily. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.